Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. I'm Jay Marie Schaefer.
Hi, Jay Marie. Jay Marie and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here pretty much every single weekend, Jay Marie and I, that is.
Yes.
Talking about estate and Medicaid planning, a lot of different topics that go into those two broader topics. When we're not at the radio talking about estate planning, we're practicing it in our offices located in Albany.
I don't think we're practicing. I think we do okay.
Yeah. Well, you practice law because you could always get better.
I thought you knew it.
You say practicing because...
I know.
Yeah.
It's a practice.
It's just a strange term to use. We could
always do better, Jay Marie.
Okay. That's right.
We are experts every day in Albany, Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs, and down in Kingston, and everywhere in between. And it is a call-in show, although I can't remember last time I was here for a phone call.
We had a phone call the weekend you weren't here, so.
Well, maybe. And we had a couple when you were on the phone, Jane Marie. That
yes,
was a couple weeks ago.
That's right,
before.
We do.
There's a trend here, I see.
Yeah.
No one wants to talk to us when I'm here.
It's okay.
There is a number, though, theoretically. Yes. It's 518-476-5900. Good morning, guys. What a beautiful day.
Beautiful.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
It's gorgeous out.
And so going to be a wonderful Mother's Day weekend, Jay Marie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Excuse me. Allergies again. Yeah.
So what are the plans?
So the plans are... my family gives me a gift certificate and I get to go shopping by myself.
Oh.
Now, that sounds weird, but I love it.
What a wonderful
That's great.
Way to spend
that's
a
what
day.
You like, then. That's the perfect gift.
That's
right?
What I like.
Yeah.
You ever have to shop with two young sons? It's horrible. So
I was once a young son. I know the feeling. It's mutual.
That's mutual.
Yeah.
You remember
sure.
being
dressed once upon a time.
So over the years, I'm like, just let me shop
just
alone.
Give me a card and shop alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you go to like the Lee outlets or something?
Yes,
or
of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Massachusetts.
Lee outlets are great.
Very
and
cool.
Then, of course, we'll have a nice, lovely meal afterwards.
Well, I am super, super excited and energized, Jay Marie.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple announcements that I think it's appropriate to start to say. It's been.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. We're already into May. So
one is a little makes me a little sad.
Yes.
And that's that Harry Miller, and hopefully Harry will be on before he
retires.
Is no longer practicing law,
that's
since
right.
he reached expert level and he's now no longer practicing.
Okay.
But he will be retiring. And, you know, the thing with estate planning attorneys, I don't think, especially someone like Harry, I don't think you actually ever retire because that wealth of knowledge and information will always be something we'll be accessing and calling
worth something, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
at all hours of the night, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he absolutely deserves to retire. So we're really, really excited for him. We're sad that we won't have him around the office any longer. But if you're a client of Herzog's and you say, well, wait a minute, that's my attorney. I've gone to Harry forever. Well, then come see him and make sure your documents are squared away. And
mm-hmm.
then you can meet Jay Marie or I and talk about your plan and see how we transition it. I mean, you know, we're all for one for all at the firm,
right.
So it really doesn't really matter who you've seen. We're all fantastic. But, you know, we'll have Harry on here, and it'll be just a Harry Miller show.
We absolutely have
celebrate
to.
Got to do it.
Can't
yes.
wait.
That's right.
The other one, which goes the other way, is that we have a new attorney that's going to be joining us. He's an experienced attorney. He's not, just out of law school or anything. And his name is Phil Vacchio, and Phil's going to be on the radio as well. So we can't wait, so we have some Saturdays free. Hooray.
That's right.
But he'll help us, you know, really not just help our current clients, but really reach out to other geographic areas as well. So we're super excited to have Phil join us.
And he does what we do. He knows what his expert knowledge is pretty high there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Elder law, estate planning, Medicaid.
Well, get this, John. He, at his previous firm, he would be on the radio in Long Island talking about estate planning, Medicaid planning.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, okay. So if it wasn't enough to have two Long Islanders, now we have three.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, a little bit of an accent here and there.
He has a bit more of an accent than
he
we
does.
Do.
Yeah, yeah. Dave, you don't have one at all.
Not at all.
No, you've been up here too long.
Yeah.
You lost it.
Yeah, I can bring it back. We can talk about coffee.
Coffee, Long Island.
Go talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Every now and then, Jeremy, we have clients where you sense the accent. So,
sure,
where you're from?
Yeah.
And they say, oh, I'm from
New York.
You know, Malta. And I don't know where you're from.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And Syosset. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, good news and some kind of melancholy
bit of
news.
Sad news.
Yeah. But
sad
we're really,
news for the office. But I think Harry's excited to begin on his new chapter.
So. It's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah. That's going to be great.
Absolutely. So, Jamie, there is a topic that last week we didn't get to, and it was this idea that we are in the lemonade business.
Yes, we are.
Okay. And what that means is we're not actually selling lemonade, right? We are helping people who are given lemons in life make the best out of it.
That's right.
And the idea, John, is that it's never too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important to know.
So if you're listening and your uncle is about to go into a nursing home,
mm-hmm.
well, it's never too late.
Okay.
And there's always something we can do. That something might not be as great as it could have been if we did something.
But it's something.
Right. It's something.
And that's important. Mm-hmm.
And that something could be quite substantial, Jamie, because sometimes that something is saving 50 cents of every dollar. Sometimes it's saying every dollar
right.
last second.
That's right. Yeah, I've had some clients in this week who are on the older end of the spectrum. Our clients are getting older and older, right? So,
well, as they should, by the way.
As they should.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I've had a few cases where they are still healthy, but they're 90 or in their 90s, and we're talking about what can we do? And one of the things is we could still do a trust to get you community Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not too late to do that. Both of them were married, so if they needed a nursing home, we could do spousal refusal. I mean, we have a whole bunch of things to do. So if you're 95, it's not too late to do a little bit of planning.
If you have a relative who is in a nursing home right now and has been there for some time and they are private paying.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear that, right?
We can make it so they private pay for half the time going forward.
Yes.
That's a big
and
difference.
So if a nursing home is $15,000, $16,000 a month, which it is,
mm-hmm.
and you save, say, 5 months, which if you have a $120,000, we could save 5 months, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just saved $60,000-$70,000.
That's right.
So there's always something you could do, but we don't just stop at half the money or getting lucky in the fact pattern, although, you know, we are practicing elder law attorneys. We know the nuances and the exemptions and how to play facts in our favor. You know, everything's obviously legal, but facts are facts, but sometimes we can use certain aspects of the law to take advantage of the facts. Doing a trust ahead of time almost always is a good idea to me. I know it's a financial investment and that's a business decision for the clients to make. That's not for me to ever speak about, Jamery, but the idea is even if we never set foot in a nursing home, even if we never have 1 hour of care, you know, given to us by an aide at home, we're still going to die.
Right.
And we got to plan for that.
And a trust still saves you money in that case because we're avoiding probate. So almost undoubtedly, you're going to save money, right, by doing a trust.
Now, we could keep going on about this lemonade thing, but I want to talk about this probate thing for a moment because I have a doozy of an estate administration file.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a Kingston client. We did not handle the will. There is an original will. There is a will. And the will leaves the money to three relatives, an uncle, an aunt, and the son of the aunt. So these are, you know, brother and sister, or uncle and aunt. And then, you know, a cousin. Those three individuals live in Italy.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
I can start to see some of the problems here.
Okay, fine. They live in Italy. The person who passed lived in Ulster County, so it's going to be an Ulster County probate. We're going to do all the stuff we do. One of the documents we do is something called a probate petition. Another document we do is a family tree affidavit or an affidavit of heirship where we are saying, hey, court, here are the moving parts. Here's a snapshot of the family. Here are the people who have legal standing to fight this will, right? And here's the kind of lay of the land. So what's the lay of the land? Well, we know there's no children.
No spouse.
No spouse.
Right. No the parents.
Parents have predeceased.
Mm-hmm.
There are no siblings mm-hmm. of the decedent. So New York law would say we're going to kids and spouse, then we're going up to parents, mm-hmm. then we're going over to siblings.
Right.
There were never siblings, so there's no nephews or nieces.
Okay.
So under New York law, again, we go up one more level. So, of course, mm-hmm. her grandparents have predeceased her. They probably predeceased her still in Italy, mm-hmm. for all we know.
Right.
But we're going to have to find out.
Sure, we're going to have to put that
so on. So there are maternal grandparents and there are paternal grandparents. So there's four grandparents. We're going to need to know dates of death for them. We're going to need to know, did mom and dad have any, did grandma and grandpa have any siblings?
Right.
So we're going to the level of our decedents, uncles and aunts, mm-hmm. and whether they have kids. And those three beneficiaries happen to be on the father's side, and we think that's all there was. There was one extra uncle or aunt or whatever, predeceased. We don't know if there was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
The person who's the executor is just a friend. They don't know the whole family tree. But they've been a friend for 15, 20 years. So they're saying, look, I think I would have known if there were other family members, but I don't know.
Well, that's not necessarily good enough for the court. Right?
The problem is the maternal side of the family is a absolute question mark. Yeah. We have no idea.
Right.
And we can't just go to the court, John, and say, yeah, well, we have no one seems mm-hmm. to know, court. That doesn't yeah. matter to the court. The court's going to say, well, there is or there is not. That's a fact.
Okay. Now, you have to prove it that there is.
Right.
They're going to say, go do your ancestry.com. Go look at the census
search
records.
Search, yeah.
Go look at
right.
vital statistics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Try to figure out how this works. And chances are, based on the fact pattern, chances are, we'll see, that there are people
yeah.
on that side of the family.
I would guess there's going to be someone on the maternal side. Right.
Chances are that person on the maternal side is long gone, but may have had children or grandchildren that we may need to track down. And chances are overwhelming that all those people live in Italy. So what do we do? Well, we're going to have to come up with we're going to do our due diligence, and we're going to mm-hmm. sign an affidavit as attorneys saying we did our due diligence, and here's our information, court. And then the court's going to say to you, Jane Marie, or to me, in the fact pattern, they're going to say, all right, well, very good. We're still going to want you to publish this in a newspaper. We still want you to, right. you know, it looks like you found someone who last was in Wisconsin. Well, you're going to publish something out there, right? They could tell us anything they want, really.
There's lots of things they
and
can tell us.
And they're going to want a day in court eventually for these people that we find to show up or not show up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're not going to show up. And the will is probably valid and not going to be an issue. But
right.
procedurally.
You got to go through it.
I got to do everything.
Yeah.
I've got two houses.
You still have to put all that stuff in the paper? I mean, that's an old, old thing.
No, you
it?
Do if you can't find it.
You know, I know. That's
there
the purpose
be,
of it. But nobody reads
service.
That stuff.
No.
But you have to do it.
No, it's correct that nobody reads it, but that's how else are you going to tell
well,
the public
yeah.
that they may be so?
That's true. Yeah, there's no other way. Unless you were to buy an ad on radio and TV.
Yeah, or your radio show on
that's
Saturdays.
See,
perhaps.
There you go.
So, Jamie, for estate administrations, for that kind of thing, going through court, probate, we can't really make a lot of lemonade. It kind of is what it is.
We can't avoid those court requirements of trying to find those beneficiaries, right?
The ship has sailed. You know, during your life, there's a lot we can do. Even when you're incapacitated with a good power of attorney,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot we can do. We kind of do everything.
We could.
Once you pass, you passed. And our options are limited. And now we're going to be, you know, I volunteered, by the way, to go to Italy personally to get to the bottom of this.
Oh, is that why you're off?
That's what I said.
You're off 2 days next week.
I said, I'm going to take a couple weeks off. I'm going to
yeah.
go to Italy and check it out.
That
they may,
sounds great.
They might be in Florence. I don't know. They might be in Venice. I'm going to have to find out.
You're going to have to go find out. Yeah. You're going to be spending a lot of time researching, right?
We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back. Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And my name is Jane Marie Schaefer.
And Jane Marie and I, in the first half of the show, I listened to the show last week, by the way, and I was reliving the calling myself Jane Marie.
That was funny. That was hilarious.
Yeah, very embarrassing. Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with me being Jane Marie, but you are clearly Jane Marie,
you.
And I'm very clearly David.
Oh, one little mistake.
Yeah. 518-476-5900 is a call number. We were talking about lemonade, and then we switched very quickly to talk about how there's one aspect of what we do where we really can't change the lay of the land, and that's where after someone passes, we're working with surrogates court, we're doing estate probates, estate administrations, we're fulfilling whatever that plan is. There are people that legally need to be notified. They're called, quote-unquote, distributees, and sometimes tracking them down requires you to take a month off of work and go to Italy.
It does.
That's what happens sometimes.
It's really tough, but someone's got to do it.
I know.
Yeah.
Now, there's a bunch of ways to avoid probate, Jane Marie, and some are a little, I guess, cruder than others. Some are a little more sophisticated with a bigger picture in mind. So a client comes in, they say, listen, I listen to the show, and I understand that it could be quite the mess. I want to avoid probate. What's Jane Marie talking to them about? What are the different options?
Well, I mean, there's a cheaper option, and then
let's save some money. Tell me about the cheaper option.
The cheaper option is you could just put some beneficiaries on your accounts.
I like it.
And that sounds great, but there's issues with that, right?
So what you're saying is, and this is obviously very true, if you have a financial account, you could add beneficiaries to it.
Right, not just your, you know, IRA, but you could add beneficiaries to your investment account. You can add beneficiaries to your bank accounts. Not that people are surprised at that. Not just a joint account. Maybe you don't want them on there right now, but you could add someone as a beneficiary. It's a payable on death or a transfer on death to your bank accounts.
TOD, POD, perfect.
Yep, that's right.
You could do the same thing with CDs. You could put that's beneficiaries right. on savings bonds. You could really anything financial, you could add a beneficiary.
Right.
But I feel like there's a but coming.
But, well, but what happens if that beneficiary dies?
Well, that's going to be a problem. You're going to have to be real proactive. You're going to have to be Johnny on the spot and immediately go to change those things to have the right beneficiaries.
Right.
I got one better than that. What happens if they're still alive, but they're not doing so hot?
True. That's right. There's no flexibility.
What happens if they're in a nursing home?
What happens if they're incapacitated? That's right.
What happens if they have a bunch of creditors and they're about to lose all that money, and if you just knew, you could have switched it around or something?
Right. That's right. It's hard to track all of those. So the better way to do it is to use a trust.
Absolutely. Well, before that, Jamie, a lot of our clients own a house. They own real estate, and they you can't just do a TOD on that.
You can't do a TOD on your house, right? So sometimes our clients, as you say, have beneficiaries on all their financial accounts, and they're coming in to see us mainly about what to do with the house.
They'll still have probate if you die with a house without some more planning. Well, so you mentioned trusts, and I know there's a bunch of different kinds. We talk about them all the time. So, I'm not going to say, trust for idiots, like one of those books or something,
yes.
but like what, beginning world of trust. Well, you don't have to just go and start Medicaid planning right off the bat, right? There's a a trust that might be right for you.
No, definitely. If you're on the younger side, you may want to start with a revocable trust. And I recommend that to most of our clients who are, you know, under 60s or something, you know, that the benefit of that is that you're going to avoid probate, but you're also going to be in control of that trust.
Yeah.
I know you talk about how you're in control of irrevocable trust, but a revocable trust,
you're really, really in control of that, right? The difference is whether, you know, are you going to the bank by yourself, or are you telling someone? Are you driving your car, or is a chauffeur driving your car, et cetera, right? And no matter what, you're still in some level of control. To me, one of the big things is, you know, so as a father of a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old, you know, if I have life insurance and retirement accounts and bank accounts, great. Well, and I could put beneficiaries in them, great.
Right.
So, you know, my wife and I will have beneficiaries on things. Well, I can't have a 4-year-old and a 9, I mean, I can, but that's such a stupid idea.
That would be so silly.
Right. So I want rules on the money for my kids. I don't want them to get it at 18. You were 18 once upon a time, right, John?
Well, let's see. That would have been about 50 years ago, but
yes,
I was.
I mean, you know what a knucklehead you were at 18. It was an awful idea to give you a big pile of money. Yeah,
but the problem is I'm still a knucklehead, so but I know what you mean.
Well, there's a trust for that, too, by the way. We can take care of your...
But I'm glad to hear it.
But it's not just enough to have a name, because you know how beneficiaries work out there. You guys have beneficiaries on your assets. It's a name and a percentage.
That's all it is. That's
what about all the pages about holding money for college and this and that, right? It's not in there.
Right.
What happens, you know, our default, even in our will, our default language has as things in case people are knuckleheads or in case someone's in a nursing home at the time that you've passed. But with a will, we got to go through probate to get to that language. With a trust, that language is just there.
It's right in there, and you can make up all the contingencies you want to, right? So if something happens to that person, you can add a contingent beneficiary, and that, so you can kind of cover all the possibilities.
Absolutely. And in my mind, our job, number one, starts at the right people get the right money the right way when you pass. That's estate planning. Step two is, let's try to make that easy, so avoid probate.
Right.
Step three is, let's protect the pie so there's as big of a pie as possible. It's the Medicaid planning.
Right.
But it all has to happen while you're the boss. And so every single thing we do, Jamie, you're still the boss. It's just, do you have a chauffeur or not?
Right.
You know, what level of boss are you? We do have a phone call. I can't believe it. Shirley, you made my day. Shirley and Troy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What's up?
David, how do I get CDs and trusts into the trust? CDs and IRAs into the trust.
Okay. Well, so IRAs are actually not going to go into the trust. Number one, they already have beneficiaries. Number two, they're individual retirement accounts. They're not trust retirement accounts. But also, when it comes to like Medicaid, there's actually no benefit to putting a retirement in a trust, because what Medicaid's interested in are just those distributions you take. They want the income. And for any trust we do, I'd say 99.9% of the trusts we do, you're the income beneficiary. So it's kind of a wash. The CDs, though, I like this one. So CDs have a maturity date. And a lot of times banks will say that if you break a CD, you're going to lose the interest that's accrued on that CD. They want to depend on the fact that that money is going to be in the bank for a certain amount of time. So a lot of times what we tell people is, when your CD is going to mature, instead of starting a new CD in the same name, in your personal name, you could actually then change the title of the CD to be in the name of the trust. And it's just really a new CD, a new form for a CD in the name of the trust. You can break a CD, and there are times that we do that. We do that more when we're kind of in the world of crisis planning, where we don't have time to wait till the maturity. Okay. We've got to get rid of this money. And the last thing on our mind is the point or two of interest you've been earning over the last year. Mm-hmm. So it's just a simple retitling form, a change of ownership form. If you're retitling it, theoretically you're actually creating a new CD in the name of the trust. And if it's a revocable trust, as Jay Marie was talking about, you do it all yourself, because you're also the trustee typically. If it is a Medicaid trust, we'll get the trustee involved to help sign to create that.
Okay. Okay, then. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
That's a great question. Sometimes, particularly with the interest rates the CDs have been getting, it sometimes makes, when they were lower before what they are now,
yeah.
I was telling clients just break it and put it in the trust to get your 5-year period started.
I mean, I saw some rates, Jamie. It looked like there are people out there that probably have a mortgage that has a lower interest rate than some of these investment vehicles, which
yes.
is crazy.
Yes, that is crazy.
I think that's the definition of free money, but that's a different
that's a
radio
different show
for a different time. Yeah,
right. But, you know, 3 years ago when you were getting 0.1% interest, it didn't make any sense. You might as well break the CD and put it in the trust. You know, now if you have a 4.5%, you may want to think about that.
Yeah, you think, I mean, it's all different options and it's whatever is right for you. On the avoiding probate front, so beneficiaries, and by the way, sometimes everyone, it's a combination of all these things. So, you know, we're not putting every asset you have into a trust. So your bank account that's still in your name should have a TOD and POD designation on it or a co-owner on it.
Right.
So revocable helps avoid probate, has a good estate plan that goes with it, obviously. I like it also for those mixed families, the second relationships, you know, where... You know, or if we're avoiding probate and we want to just because it's a pain in the, you know what, sometimes it's because no, there is a fight that's a brewing and we need to avoid that fight.
Right.
So we really need to, I mean, it's not a maybe, it's not just the normal annoyance of publishing things and following the Surrogates Court Procedures Act and all that stuff. And it's really like, oh boy, we're going to have, you know, a hearing on this now. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be some big expense. To me, Jamie, when someone's age turns to starting with a 6,
yes,
I'm always talking about the Medicaid trust. In fact,
yes.
I had a client this past week, and I know we talked about it a while back, about long-term care insurance, mm-hmm. where they're doing a trust to avoid probate. They have long-term care insurance. They have a really good plan, actually, really good. Mm-hmm. It's expensive, and the problem is they're doing too well. So it's going to be expensive for a lot longer.
Right.
And they've already gotten letters about, you know, giving up benefits, so they just keep paying more. And it's like $600 a day of benefit. I mean, they're going to cover anything.
That's a great benefit, but how long can they pay those premiums?
So I said, look, real simple. We're all going to pass one day. Let's avoid probate.
Right.
While we're avoiding probate and we're doing a trust, let's just do the kind of trust that hedges our bets.
Yeah.
In case we get, you know, a letter like a different Shirley, who was the client mm-hmm. previously with the long-term care insurance. So she doesn't have to make that tough decision and give up a whole lot of coverage.
No, that's true. I had clients this week who came in and were talking about trust, and I said, do you have long-term care insurance? And they're like, oh, we gave that up last year. It was just too much money.
I like giving it up only when I'm otherwise already covered.
Well, so they were not covered at all. So.
Oh, well, then it's a problem.
I mean, so we're going to do an irrevocable trust, but now there's a 5-year
period. We got to cross our fingers that they are nursing home free.
Right. If they had come in before they gave up the policy, sometimes we say, all right, just keep it for 5 more years to get you through the penalty period, and then you can give it up.
Yeah. At least it gives you options. And the idea of trusts and planning that way is that you're not, with all these trusts, they are all undoable, regardless mm-hmm. of what they're called. And you have the ability to change your mind and change your beneficiaries and change your plan as you go. Mm-hmm. That was quick.
Have a wonderful Mother's Day, everyone.
Happy Mother's Day, Isabel, Nani, and Mima.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.